Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Welcome on into our Wednesday, December the 4th edition of Sports Talk. Going to 8 o'clock tonight, me and Cullen Steele bringing you all the action from the day. We got plenty to talk about, from LSU signing day, Saints action, some Pelicans news coming at you all in this hour. We'll get to Brian Kelly's audio right off the bat. It's early signing day period, and the Bayou Bengals were busy indeed. Brian Kelly even broke down the entire class for us. They did add Solomon Thomas late to this, so when Brian Kelly breaks down all of these players here, you're not going to hear his name. But the Bayou Bengals haul today, pretty impressive. Obviously, they lost a couple of guys, but overall, a successful day for the LSU Tigers. And here's what head coach Brian Kelly had to say as he introduced his 2025 class.
Each player in particular, I'd like to just, you know, give a little bit of a quick synopsis on each one. I'll start with alphabetical. Aiden Anding out of Ruston High School, we see as an elite corner and also a specialist from Ruston. As you know, championship level football program, love his traits and his athletic ability. And a guy that can come in and really strengthen the corner position. Dylan Battle is another player for us that, you know, fulfilled the defensive tackle position, heavy-handed, physical inside. Bo Davis really liked his ability to disrupt at the defensive tackle position. I think we all know about Harlan Berry out of St. Martin's Episcopal School. Elite player, can do many things for you. As a guy that played both ways in high school, can impact the game as a guy coming out of the backfield, catching the football, running the football, special teams. He was elite on defense. This is an elite player that can impact our roster right away. Brett Bordelon, we know his brother is here. Brett is an outstanding offensive lineman out of Newman High School. We're excited to get to work with him. Physically strong, mature to come in right away and apply that physicality on the offensive line, which we desperately need. It has great flexibility. Could play guard, could play center. Jaden Breaker, we think, is emerging as a star linebacker. I mean, his ascent has been quick and mediocre. It's been that kind of player that has jumped off the page in terms of his status. Really just love the way he plays. He's fast. He's physical. He diagnoses extremely well. And he plays the position, you know, with great length. He's 6'3", 217 pounds. That's the kind of body frame we're looking for, you know, with our outside backers. He's going to be, you know, from our standpoint, a great fit here. Jacob Bradford, you know, the more you watch Jacob Bradford, you see his physicality on the field. He plays a physical brand of football. He can line up at the corner position, the slot position, the safety position. Love his versatility, but more importantly, love the way he plays the game. Brandon Brown, another defensive tackle for us, was somebody that Bo had his eyes on for a number of years. Love his quickness. A little bit of a different player than Dylan. Quick first step, more like first step quickness like JVR Suggs. Really love his ability to pass rush, but a good presence inside as well. But love his physicality, but his quickness really jumps off the film. Carrius Kern, physically imposing, 6'4", 330 pounds, one of the stronger offensive linemen that I've recruited in some time. He is physically strong at the point of attack. He dominates his opponents. If you just turn on his film, he absolutely dominates his opponent. He is physically ready to play in the SEC right now. We'll have to see how the other things come together, but he is physically ready to play. He's a special player. Teron Francis is just ascending each and every game that he plays. Loved his film over the last couple of weeks, making plays and playing fast and free. And excited about another Edna Carr player in our program. They've done nothing but excel here at LSU. CJ, Jim Coley, very versatile athlete, extremely physical athlete at the safety position. And you can see by his size, you know, 6'3", 212 to 215 pounds. You know, this is a guy that can play close to the line of scrimmage, but he's athletic enough that can play off the hash. So we've got a really interesting prospect here in terms of a freshman coming in that is probably going to get bigger and look, he's going to put himself in a position to succeed with us. J.D. LaFleur, obviously, is a legacy player for us. His dad played here. I think many know that. Big, physical, 6'6", 245 pounds, but also has soft hands and can catch the football. I think he gives us that big presence that we wanted from an inline player, but certainly can catch the football for us as well. J.T. Lindsey might be one of the hottest players in the country, especially at the running back position. He continues to show himself as his team just, you know, keeps moving through the playoffs now into the semifinals. Just has had an incredible year, and he is an electric back. We welcome him into our backfield, and we have somebody that we're so excited about, and he's had an incredible year. Walter Mathis, another outstanding defensive tackle out of Calvary Day School, very coveted player throughout the country. Love his physicality, love his motor. Every play is, you know, for him, just the way he has put forth the effort in every single play. Love the way he plays the game. Tyler Miller, very talented offensive lineman, the best one in Mississippi, you know, gives us the versatility with a big physical offensive lineman. Could play tackle, could play guard. Really love his feet, the way he bends, and will be a great addition. Keelan Moses, locally, obviously battled some injuries this year, but an extremely gifted player, a guy that could play either side of the ball. He'll fit in very nicely in Blake Baker's linebacker room. Great character, and we just think he's a great fit for us here at LSU. DJ Pickett, arguably the number one corner in the country. I don't even know if it's an argument. We believe he's hands down the best corner in the country. Incredible length at 6'4", 180 pounds. You know, I don't know that I've ever felt that there is a lockdown corner, but he's about as close as there's a lockdown corner in the country. It's DJ Pickett. And his offensive film might be as good, if not better, if you've ever watched him. So this is an elite player that we're excited to have in our roster. Charles Ross II, the superlatives are such that not only does he get the game of football and have great awareness where he plays, he is one of the fastest linebackers, if not the fastest linebacker in the country. And that's proven by what he's done in track and field. This guy is lightning, and can't wait to get him into Blake's defense. He will be a difference maker. Damian Shanklin, an edge player with an incredible attitude of excitement and energy, and reminds us a lot of Swin in terms of his energy and excitement, brings that in, and he's an elite pass rusher, so we welcome him and excited about him. Jace Thomas, obviously, his season cut short. Destrehan also vying for a championship, but very cerebral, very smart, athletic, and will come down and hit you. That's what we're looking for, somebody that can play the ball and also be a great run support guy. Zach Weefs, as you all know, this will be the third Weefs brothers in the program. And look, the only way you get three brothers is if you recruit them individually, as they are, and they love their experience in the program to have three brothers, because they just talk to each other. And all three of them here, we're excited about that. And, you know, Zach is an incredible athlete. And I kid the other two that he's the best of the three. And, of course, you can imagine how that goes. But great versatility and an extremely gifted athlete, and we're excited. Zion Williams is, I mean, you talk about a space eater. He is massive. He's physical. At the point of attack, he's 340 pounds, and he doesn't even look it. I mean, he's a guy that could play at that weight. And now you're talking about a defensive line with depth, size, physicality. That's what it looks like, gentlemen, in the SEC. We're putting the bodies, we're putting the men together to put together the defense in terms of what it should look like. And then Phillip Wright, who is just lightning. He is so fast, athletic, tough. I love his toughness, his mindset, the way he plays the game. He doesn't avoid contact. He goes up and catches the football, and really excited about his presence here as well. And again, we think we're still going to be announcing some more as they come in a little bit later today. So thank you for your patience and listening to me talk about these fine young men. Today's their day. They get to listen to this press conference. So I wanted to be able to say a few words about them and who they are and how excited we are. 16 of these players will come in as mid-years and have graduated early. And I think we all understand what an incredible accomplishment that is, to graduate early from high school. And so bringing 16 of these guys in will definitely impact our roster, and we're excited about that.
That was head coach Brian Kelly summing up his 2025 class. There are 16 players he went over for you. When we get back from the break, we'll hear his Q&A session with the media and what he had to say even more of LSU after this here on W.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop up to 45% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee during the Blinds.com year-end blowout. Up to 45% off now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WL, we are loaded with sports here on WWL. We're also your home of the SEC Championship. Georgia Bulldogs taking on the Texas Longhorns Saturday at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta. Catch all the action pregame 2:30, kickoff 3 o'clock on WWL and the free Odyssey app. Well, more of head coach Brian Kelly, who took the podium today on this National Signing Day press conference. I reflected on the whole whirlwind of the day and also said that this last week was like no other he'd seen before in the NIL era. Here's what Coach Kelly had to say when talking to the media after National Signing Day.
Coach, you mentioned you're going to be very aggressive in the portal.
Mm-hmm.
Difference makers, when you pinpoint who you want once they're in there, do you have the resources that you need if it's also Ohio State and Oregon and Georgia and those types that also want that player?
Yeah, so that's the bar, right? I mean, it's Oregon, Ohio State, it's Michigan, it's Georgia, Alabama. I could keep naming Notre Dame. I mean, I'll give you all the names. You guys know what they are. But now it's no longer about just your brand. Your brand has to be backed up with the ability to supplement that with dollars, because that's what we're in. And so if you want to get into the portal, if you want to be able to close some of these, you have to have active participation from a donor base. And it can't just be one or two guys. It has to be from all those that want to see the Notre Dames or the Ohio States or the Oregons or the Alabamas do well. They have to be involved. And so that means the LSUs. If they want to be at the top of the food chain, then we have to be involved as well. And that's just the reality of where we are today. And whether we like it or not, it's where it is today.
You mentioned with a couple of the defensive guys, just versatility mm-hmm. was a word in their speed. Could you talk about maybe the conversations when you sat down with Blake Baker, just about how you wanted to maybe transform this defense to have that sideline to sideline speed that a lot of these guys have?
Yeah, so I think there's a couple of things in play here is that, you know, you saw us play with three linebackers. And we would much rather play with three linebackers, but three linebackers that can, you know, do multiple things, that they could, in fact, cover out if necessary. That gives us more options relative to our defensive structure, and i.e. we can get into three down and do some three down. You get stuck a little bit if that linebacker is really just a zone dropper. So these guys can play some man for us. They can rush the quarterback. And that's where we're looking for the body types of Breaker and Ross. And that's where it's starting to kind of morph into the look of the player that we're trying to recruit.
Your view from the get-go has been it's not supposed to be pay-per-play.
Correct.
And do you still kind of feel like these guys are doing anything in exchange for all this money? Or do you feel like the spirit is they're we are paying players to play?
Oh, there's no doubt. We clearly understand that at LSU we have to be in the ball game, but we're certainly going to do it the right way. I can't speak for everybody, but I know how we're going to do it. But look, the incentives that are out there for players to go to XYZ schools to meet that brand platform, they would have to do a lot of things. And maybe they are. I'm not researching them.
I know that when we're putting together contracts, they have to meet the performance incentives, and performance meaning not on the field, but what they're asked to do through their NIL. They're telling us that this is going to be monitored by the NCAA. That's what they're telling us. We'll see where that goes.
Keelan Moses, we just went to his signing. He says, "I bleed purple and gold." Perhaps some people offered him more money, but his heart was here. Is that more important these days, the local kids in Louisiana that you can build this roster with who maybe have that sentimental attachment to LSU?
Yeah, and you don't have to take the hometown discount. You know, I mean, you can bleed purple and gold and don't take the hometown discount because you can be featured in so many other things. You know, you talk about name, image, and likeness. We've got a billionaire right here in the city. We've got multimillionaires right here in the city that are very anxious and very willing to feature those young men and women we've seen prominently in marketing campaigns. We've got Fortune 500 opportunities in not very far from here. So, you know, staying in state, the ability for a kid from this state to capitalize on his brand is so much greater than if he goes somewhere else. And Keelan recognized that, and being from Baton Rouge, how he can use his brand here and really capitalize financially.
Right. When you look at this class, who do you think maybe has the physical, and you also often talk about emotional maturity, yeah, to maybe play early next year?
Well, I mentioned Carius Kern. I mean, I felt like physically he might be one of the strongest players that I've recruited at the position in a long time. He has that kind of physical characteristics. I would say Zion Williams is big and physical, a guy that you could plug in immediately. Those are big physical guys. I'd say just because of his length, DJ Pickett, and his pedigree is a guy that could come in right away. Bordelon is physically as strong as some of the offensive linemen we have. Those are guys physically that can do it. Now, who are the guys that can make the transition that have the physical tools to do it? You know, now you're talking about Harlan Berry, right? You're talking about Philip Wright. You're talking about skill guys. Can they make that flip and transition? Because they certainly have the skill to do it. But the big physical guys, I would lean on Kern, Bordelon, Zion Williams. Those are guys that physically are ready.
With boasting such an impressive class, what is your message directly to the fans that may be disappointed in the decommitments that transpired and some of the players that are planning to enter the transfer portal?
Well, I mean, look, if you're a fan, you got to look at this as the glass half full or is it half empty? This is an outstanding class. Would we have wanted all of the guys? Yeah, we fought hard for all those guys. But I think I laid a pretty good message out to what this recruiting is all about. And those two guys loved LSU. They didn't have much of a choice. And so we're out there fighting and recruiting and putting together a great class, and all these kids wanted to be here. They wanted to be part of LSU because they see something, they felt something that was clear to them. And what was clear to them that this is going to be a championship program, and they want to be part of it. So the message is really clear. In back-to-back years, we've been able to put together elite classes, and we feel like the student athletes know that. They talk to each other. They sense that. And so our fans need to know that. And what finishes it off is that we need to get continued support from our donor base so we can now continue to augment the roster through the transfer portal, which is the other way of building your roster now in this new world that we live in. If we do that, the glass is certainly half full.
Half full, says LSU head coach Brian Kelly, tending to lean towards the positive side. He should be a good signing class. We'll see what the Tigers end up doing, obviously, on the field. But we're going to switch up gears when we get back from the break, talking a little Pelicans with Ali Cosell right after this. So stay tuned on WWL. Back here on Sports Talk, getting into some Pelicans talk. For that, we welcome in credentialed NBA writer Ali Cosell to the radio huddle. How you doing today, Ali?
Hey, Steve. I'm doing pretty well. How about yourself?
Doing good. Some good news today. Obviously, I know the Pelicans put out some medical updates, and at least Brandon Ingram, Herb Jones practicing full today. I know they're still questionable for tomorrow. And we'll get into some of the other stuff with that medical update after this, but at least Ingram and Herb Jones seem to be, if not back tomorrow, very soon we're going to see these guys in action, which is obviously a huge plus for this depleted roster.
Yeah, absolutely. The vibes were that they're both going to play tomorrow. Okay. I think the only way that neither one plays is if they wake up, you know, some kind of unusual soreness or, you know, pain in the areas that they just suffered injuries from. But otherwise, it looks like, yeah, finally we're going to get a lot more of the guys on the court at the same time, something you haven't really been able to say since the first week of the season.
Yeah, looking at the other injury updates, Jordan Hawkins, a lumbar spine annular fissure, obviously a back issue. He's going to be reevaluated in about a week, they're saying. And then Jose Alvarado, his left hamstring strain, 2 weeks approximately. And also Zion Williamson, both of them with left hamstring strains, about 2 weeks still out for that. The big news, obviously, Zion Williamson still not any closer, unfortunately, to getting back on the court for this team.
No, it doesn't sound like his return is close, right? But I will say that he was doing some light activity on this road trip. He accompanied the team along with Brandon Ingram. And then today, after practice, we watched him, you know, jump some rope. So to me, that's actually a step forward, right? For a guy that had PRP injections, typically when you get those injections, Steve, you can't have an athlete run for, you know, between a month or 2 months after that last injection. So we were thinking maybe we might not see him until the All-Star break. But now that he's jumping rope, there's a chance that we'll see – I think there's a decent chance we'll see him before the All-Star break. So I think he can start thinking about getting Zion back in maybe about 4 to 5 weeks. That's just a good guess for right now. But at least it's not as far away as we initially thought.
Curious what you think. I'm sure you've heard the chatter as well. A lot of folks think that Willie Green is going to end up getting fired for this poor performance from this Pelicans team. And obviously not really fair to judge him at the start of this season with this rash of injuries that has really, you know, put a G League roster for the most part on the court for this team. Thankfully, they are getting healthier right now, but it's really hard to blame the head coach for this 4-win season right now. I just think Willie, is the writing on the wall for Willie, or do you think he still has a shot at retaining this job?
I think Willie's fine. Honestly, everybody I've talked to, he's safe, right? I mean, look, you just mentioned it. He hasn't had the majority of his key players this season.
Yeah.
Bar none, the most injured team in the league up to this date. So, yeah, he hasn't had his complement of players to basically play his style, execute and such. And you've seen it, right? I mean, these guys just simply can't score the ball when you've got five of your top six guys one night out and maybe seven of the top eight the next night. And all that continuity is just thrown against the wall. And, you traded for a point guard that was going to run the offense, but he's only five games into his Pelicans career. So there's way too many things that have gone wrong that you – haven't seen yet from this core to be able to make a judgment on Willie Green. I think if anything, now maybe the clock will start ticking, right? Because you're going to have, like I said, if you get Brandon and Herb tomorrow, you're going to get pretty much of a full squad outside of Zion and Jose in my book. And therefore, you're going to be able to start judging right on the merits of this team and what Willie can do with the guys he's got. But up to this point, Steve, I don't have to tell you. I mean, outside of that first week, it's been just a mash unit every game out.
Yeah, definitely brutal for this squad. And you mentioned, obviously, the return of point guard DeJounte Murray. What have you seen and thought of him on the court so far? I know he still doesn't have his full, you know, accompaniment of teammates around him right now, but your early impressions of him being back from his injury?
Well, we've liked everything that we've seen from – okay, so you've gotten CJ, Trey, and DeJounte largely all back in the last two and a half weeks, right? Only CJ's the one that has found his rhythm. The unfortunate thing is Trey, for some reason, can't hit three-pointers,
right,
especially the open ones, it seems like. And then with DeJounte, he just can't throw the ball in the ocean right now. I mean, this is a guy that typically, right, shoots from the field, I want to say about 46%. And right now, I mean, Steve, he's not anywhere close to 30% on the season. So he's obviously struggling, and it's a tough time for the team when, you know, you're so shorthanded as it is, when you've got some key guys back. They honestly have to contribute for this team to have a chance to win. Like I said, when it's just CJ knocking his shots down, but Trey and DeJounte are missing him, well, that hurts. But then again, DeJounte does give you other things, right? In that loss to the Hawks, he had 5 steals, 10 assists. And without a doubt, you saw the offense move so much better when he was in the court. I mean, Steve, I think they scored 26 fast break points. That's the second most they've had all season. They put up 42 three-point attempts. That's the most this season. So there's positive trends with having DeJounte, even though, right, his shot's not going down yet. But I think that'll change soon.
I mean, Ollie, we've heard a graph recently. I was hearing him on the way home the other night talk about how at the end of the day, you know, no moral victories. To get to one, you have to win one. To, like, right the ship, you just need to win a game. And that kind of starts tomorrow, you know, with the welcoming back of Herb and B.I. But also the fact that it was announced earlier today that Kevin Durant won't be playing. Do you think we have a shot against the Suns?
I do, actually, because the Suns, really, they're heavily reliant on their three best players. And Kevin Durant, like you said, has already been ruled out for at least a week, so he'll miss tomorrow's game. But then, of course, you got to mention Devin Booker's playing, right?
I'm worried about that 40 spot he puts up.
I remember. I think he scored 50 points or more in his last 3 appearances in the Smoothie King. So I know he had 52 both times last season. But, yeah, you've got to put the clamps on him. But, hey, if Herb Jones plays, that's going to help a lot. So, No, I do think they've got a real good chance to actually win. And here's the thing. They really, I feel like, fell off a cliff once we learned Zion Williamson strained his hamstrings, right? So that happened in the game against Cleveland. We haven't seen him since. And that's when I think you saw the confidence from this team drop. And it shows. They haven't been able to shoot better than like 32% from three-point range in a game. They're missing all their open, wide-open looks. So I think, honestly, like I said, that Zion injury, plus combined with how the season began, was kind of a haymaker. They were in a daze for about 2.5 weeks. But now I think it feels like, at least talking to some of the team, the people around the team today, they feel like they're coming out of that funk. Like, they had a really good practice today. Spirits are high. Brandon Ingram was really excited. So really hope to get to see him tomorrow. So I just think that, you know, get some of this confidence going, combined with a team that's not going to be at full strength. I think you've got a chance to honestly win, and maybe even win, start winning maybe a couple games here and there, right?
I didn't know if you saw this, Ollie, but even when Justin Timberlake went to the Smoothie King Center, he ended up getting injured as well. It's really unbelievable. I don't know what's going on in that building.
Steve, I saw it, but, you know, I've been covering this team for so long. We've been thinking, what do we have to sacrifice? Right? I mean, is the Smoothie King Center built on some, you know, ancient burial
ground?
Nobody,
right?
Knows, but it feels like something's always affecting it, right? So, fingers crossed. Fingers crossed this is going to be it for the season in terms of the bad luck.
Well, I wanted to hit you real quick before we let you go. I know Eves Missy, also dealing with an ankle issue, is questionable for tomorrow. Do you know any severity on that? And I guess that happened last game, or was it in practice?
What's funny is Willie didn't mention it today, so I'm assuming it probably came up after practice today. Because if anything, he's been bothered by a shoulder recently, nothing about an ankle. So my guess is he probably had some kind of a light twist. Maybe pointed it out. They put him on the injury report. But here's the thing. Eve Missy, when he's been on the injury report, outside, I think, just one game, has played through some things. So fingers crossed we see him tomorrow.
Yeah, he's been one of the definitely bright spots of this sorrowful season right now. Hopefully things start to turn around tomorrow. Always appreciate your time, Ollie. Thank you so much tonight.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Let's see a little bit of a turnaround before we hit 2025, right?
Amen to
that. No more big losing streaks. Let's put an end to this 9-gamer.
Let's do it. Thank you again, Ollie.
All right, guys.
That's Ollie Cosell, credentialed NBA writer that covers the Pels and the NBA. We're going to take a break and be right back talking to you more. Get to some phone calls on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking Text Line, 504-260-1870. Be right back after the break here on WWL. Well, everybody, are you ready to feel the joy of the season? WWL invites you to kick off your holidays at the 3rd Annual Children's Hospital New Orleans Holiday Parade. It's going to roll through the French Quarter in downtown New Orleans Saturday, December 7th. That's starting 11 a.m. It's going to be fantastic, with a longer route and custom throws, plus 30 custom-designed floats, high-flying helium balloons, including a 30-foot Santa, and your favorite holiday characters, plus dozens of New Orleans' beloved marching groups and bands, marching bands as well. You just need to catch throws from Newell School and Ian Hoke. Bring the family to the Children's Hospital Holiday Parade Saturday, December 7th. That's starting 11 a.m. And all the partnerships with the Downtown Development District and Kern Studios celebrate the season with WWL. Back into our phone lines. Going to hit the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line. You can chime in 504-260-1870. We got Jimmy in Gretna first up. How you doing today, Jimmy?
Hey, man. Yeah, that's funny about Justin Timberlake getting hurt at Smoothie King Center, too. It's sad but funny at the same time.
Something about that building.
There's something, I don't know, it's building some kind of like cemetery or something. I don't know. I've heard that about the Superdome.
Me too, right?
Maybe it's spilling over next door. You know, it baffles me. I felt like it just baffles me. Okay, I'm a big Pels fan, right? And what are we at? We're at, Cullen, what are we at? Four wins right now?
18 right now.
Okay, so we got four wins in, it's early December in basketball. We got four wins in football. It feels like the season's over with. You know, the only good thing about being this bad this early in the season is you got $5 tickets or less for most home games, right? Tomorrow night, the Suns come to town. Saturday, OKC's coming to town. But it just, I mean, when I look at, you know, the history of basketball in the city, and you guys tell me if I'm wrong on this, I think we're the only American city to ever lose two pro teams. Now, we lost the ABA Buccaneers back in the day. We lost the Jazz to Utah. There's no Jazz in Utah whatsoever. We almost lost the Hornets, and the NBA had to come in after Katrina and George Shinn and blah, all that stuff, and they had to. It was owned by the NBA. We've had issues with attendance. And at the same time, I look at the last 17 years. I mean, Chris Paul is still in the NBA somehow. He's going to go down as one of the greatest point guards in the history of the NBA. And we've had guys, Steve and Cullen, we've had Chris Paul fall in our lap.
Yep.
We've had Anthony Davis, and I know he was a crybaby, but he's probably going to end up being a Hall of Famer. Because the numbers he's putting up, he's like 12 years in the league. Let's say he plays another 6-7 years. He's probably going to be up in the top 10 points scored all time. And Zion, yes, we laugh about his weight. He is a Hall of Fame talent. Now, will he ever become a Hall of Famer like Chris Paul and Anthony Davis? Maybe not. But what I'm saying is it's not like we haven't had great talent fall right into our lap, you know, in the last 17, 18 years. Three great, great players. And it feels like we've botched them. It's like we feel like we're, here we go again with Zion.
Appreciate that call, Jimmy. We'll be back with more sports talk at the top of the hour right after the news.